poor microphone.
This is brought to you by Yangjin Beer, the official state beer of China. Actually, this is extra Yangjin. I'm not necessarily sure what extra Yan or extra Jing is. It's apparently premium beer. 355 milliliters of smoothness, I guess.
So, it's Ninja Consultant Show, I don't know what episodes.
Okay, this is show omake.
It's not omake at all.
Is it a side dish?
Maybe, if it's cross-posted in manga cast, then yes. We have Ed Chavez here, who's in town for a book fair. Most of the purpose of this is to talk about a video game, which is kind of unprecedented in the Ninja Consultant world, since we don't play a lot of video games and never
play a show.
In fact, I've
specifically been asked by listeners not to talk about video games.
Oh, that was hilarious.
We don't know what we're
that
talking
guy was
about.
Like, it's like my grandmother reviewing a Corvette.
Okay.
It was awesome. So, well, it's like if your grandma drove a sports car and doesn't know anything about sports cars.
And then tried talking about it.
Then tried talking about it. That it was just okay. Painful to listen to.
Hmm.
We're going to talk about
so,
an
there
extremely
is,
fascinating
in
video
the past
game.
Maybe month or two, a new game.
I don't know when it came out.
Sweeping.
It could have come out like a year and a half ago.
Not
I don't know.
Here, because
there is an import. It's a different version.
That might be true, but it's only been sweeping at least our particular
paced
public.
It's only 2 minutes and you don't know what you're talking about at all.
This is the intro part. I'm building up to it.
With lies.
They're not lies.
Building a mountain of lies.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'll just knock down all those lies once we get to them, but go ahead now.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that many of our friends have started playing this game.
Actually, it's just Derek.
Maybe I have more friends than you do, and you don't even know.
Uh-huh.
It's not just Derek. It's also Scott and Allison.
Okay.
It's three.
Okay. Do they actually own it?
Maybe they borrowed it from Derek. I don't know. The point is that in this game, you cheer on a number of people doing little fancy acrobatics with your pen and...
Their stylus.
And your stylus, yes.
It's a rhythm game for the DS.
Now I really am sounding like an old man.
Yes.
It's a rhythm game, and you play the role of cheerleaders of sorts, which Ed will explain in greater detail, and you cheer people on in a variety of some mundane,
yes,
some extraordinary activities.
Yeah. It's almost like playing a game of Taboo or something, like we're talking around the...
to the beat of 80s and 90s pop songs.
So, what is this game? What is its history? And why is it awesome?
And its title and what all the kanji mean in Japanese.
You should have given me a screen so I could read the other kanji,
because
I don't know what
cuff.
The... Oh, my God.
You're never allowed to look at notes on this
show. Yeah,
well, no preparation.
I don't use notes either, but I don't edit either. Os Tatakae O-en Dan is the game that I think Noah described. Basically, this title has been around for a little while, at least in Japan. I have to say almost 2 years now since it's been out. And that did I say it's for the Nintendo DS? Mm-hmm. So it specifically uses the touch screen abilities of that game. It is a beat game, a rhythm game. And as I said, it features a lot of really great cover songs of pop, punk, even occasional Visual K song. I think there's an Arc and Ciel song in there.
The only one Derek recognized was from the end of the game.
Ready, Steady, Go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's towards the end of the game. And basically you have cheerleaders, but these aren't your normal cheerleaders. These are O-N Dan members, Owen Dan. It's basically, it is a cheerleading club. It's a cheerleading team. Dan is more like a team. You have guys generally in high school. I don't necessarily know if they have them in college. They might have them in middle school, but I didn't go to middle school in Japan.
The important part is that it's a real team.
That these people really exist. And how do they dress?
They dress, I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with the Yankees. But Yankees
only
are...
Only if they listen to your show.
Yankees are... They're basically punks.
But have you seen Kamikaze
Girls?
Yeah,
we might have mentioned
and you should.
Yankee from Kamikaze Girl. Or,
no, because we haven't really talked about that on the show yet.
The schoolgirl...
Oh, the High School Girl Inferno?
Yeah.
We also haven't reviewed that yet on the show.
Okay, so, but maybe when you hear this,
upcoming,
we will have it.
Yeah. In upcoming Manga Recon columns...
If any of you guys have watched Yu Yu Hakusho, the characters in that, the main characters, Kuwabara and Yusuke, they're on the verge of Yankee. They have all the same characteristics.
The guy with the red hair?
Yeah.
Okay, because in the dub of that they were showing on... Were they showing on Cartoon Network?
Yes.
The dub had atrociously bad voice acting
voice
for the red-haired guy.
Terrible.
It was like grating. It was like cheese grater on your ear, kind of annoying fake accent.
Yeah.
But maybe the gist of it gets through, sort of type.
Yeah, I mean, basically these are punks. They end up, I mean, for them, school is not necessarily going for education. It's going to release your frustrations, to beat people up.
Maybe learn a trade.
And maybe learn a trade. Work on your fists.
Cromartie.
Yeah, like Cromartie.
The Owendon might look very similar. They might have the same type of long coats, high pants. And maybe some of the guys have pompadours or slick back greaser type hair and haramaki, well as hachimaki when they are actually doing their oen-ing. For the most part, these people are they serve a slightly different purpose, actually very different purpose from what the Yankees do. These guys are cheerleaders, and they basically... during competitions or special events, they cheer people on.
In a manly way.
In a manly way.
And this is, yes, it's extraordinarily macho. These are not people to be mocked. These are people to be deeply respected for their...
For their ability.
Spirit.
Yes, exactly. Because they are sharing their spirit with the masses. So much so that, particularly in Os Tatakaya Oendan, Os is pushing... And you are tatakai, you are battling, and this is the cheerleading club, team, and every single chapter of us, the team of three ON members, go around their town, giving anybody who is down on their luck a boost by cheering and singing and doing all crazy kind of dance moves.
It's doing the hand motions, but you can't tell.
It's weird hands wildly.
It's almost like a parrot.
They have these long coats.
The long coats,
hats.
Big hair.
Sometimes.
And as I said, hachimachi.
Headbands.
Headbands. Usually red.
Rising sun headband.
Yeah. Because it's this fiery key that they're trying to share with people. What's interesting about this title is there are a couple levels to this. So when you start off, you have just your regular Owendon, and it just seems to be, it's just a regular Owendon, and they're going from one district of town to the next. They might go to an elementary school or where they help a kid who is trying to confess his love to a girl, or they might be at the subway station helping out a salaryman who needs to protect his daughter from a mutant rat.
Or, an everyday occurrence.
Well, that's a good one.
Or there might be a ghost of a lover who is trying to give his final message to his girlfriend.
They're cheering on the ghost.
And they cheer the ghost on in a very... very similar fashion to the movie Ghost, if you ever get to see that. The initial stages, you have these three really manly guys, and the level of difficulty is pretty high. There's actually a pretty tough learning curve. Once you pass that initial first round, basically, of 12, then you have an option to either bring in someone who isn't manly, or go for broken, go for someone who is so manly, he has to kind of step down from being a thug to being a member of Noendai. So you either have your little nerd type who looks like he might fit in like in a high school baseball team because he's got his head shaved and he's kind of wiry and skinny and yeah, he's got spirit, but he's mostly focused on his classwork. Through each one of these interactions, his ability to push people and push himself becomes more and more apparent. And then with the final level of actually bringing down someone who has gone astray to putting him back onto the path of righteousness, you have very similar results, but the degree of difficulty varies quite a bit.
Mm.
It's a very interesting game, particularly if you like the music. That was, to me, playing that first time around, I was really obsessed with that game because of the music.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to finish every song off, you know, and if you failed, and you had those characters fall to their knees, sometimes just like lying down on asphalt, you just wanted to light their fire again, which is actually your options. Do you either want to quit and there's no flame at all, or do you want to retry and you see this big fireball?
Right, because the meter in the game about how well you're doing is made of fire.
Burning key.
And if it goes out, then your characters just collapse.
Yeah, the idea being that they didn't have enough spirit within themselves to push and it's interesting because here is a game where it's true that the Oendan is, they are the protagonists,
yes,
and yet they're not really the protagonists.
No.
Because they're watching someone else's story unfold. And they are relegating themselves to supporting positions. Yeah. And that's where you're...
Yeah. It's an interesting game on some more other levels, too, because if you're actually playing... You're not really able, because you're so focused on getting all
those
beats.
I noticed this, yes.
You're not really focused on the screen and seeing all the animation that's happening and all of those, the real characters, you know, that are you know, overcoming whatever hurdle that they have to go over. You don't get to really see them. Instead, you see all the...
It's like on the DS's two screens, like you're playing on the bottom screen.
Right.
On the top screen, they're showing what's happening to the person you're helping out. And there's sort of a comic effect going on where all the dialogue is written out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the action is happening up there. You only get to see the meter and where on the screen you need to tap on that bottom screen where your eyes are really focused on. It's. I would really possibly be intrigued if Nintendo would make that for where you can hook that up to a big monitor,
mm-hmm.
you know? 'Cause then other people can see the animation while you're going through it, but they haven't done something like that yet.
Oh, I guess the more alarming thing, I don't want to go on too incredibly much longer, but the more alarming thing in our conversation that this podcast is now based on was that the Oendan cheering on a guy confessing to his, love interest.
Well, yes. One guy and one girl.
One guy and one girl.
At the end of the year.
That this is a real occurrence in Japan.
Yes.
And essentially every school has an Oendan.
Well, I won't say every school. You know, private schools, possibly not so much.
Just but the cheaper schools.
If you're at a public school, more likely than not, you would have an Oendan. And as Aaron just said, particularly for special events, maybe school festival, which isn't always at the end of the year, maybe before summer vacation or just right after. Mm. There are sometimes occasions where certain students are picked out by the... student body to basically confess their love for each other in front of everybody.
This actually happens
in front of the entire school.
Yeah.
Have you seen this happen?
I've not in person.
But you've heard about it.
But I've seen it on TV enough that I know it definitely exists.
But not like in documentaries.
Well, no, and they're crazy.
And they're crazy. Yeah, and they're crazy
variety
shows
type things.
Really.
Yeah, and actually, the funny thing about that, particularly with the variety shows, is on occasion...
like they're just driving by a school?
No.
They're filming...
Yeah, they're filming like the whole thing.
Well, that's not really real either, then, is it?
Well, the thing is that... I mean,
I mean, it's happening to real students, but...
It's happening to real students.
And it would happen whether the cameras were there or not.
How can you be sure?
Well...
anyway.
All right.
Right.
Because I could say, I could go up and down the wall saying my cousin went to school in Japan and this is what happened, but...
I'll concede that point.
All right. Also, I have a girlfriend in Canada.
But, while the kids are going through this, there is the O.N. Don cheering them on. It's really strange
because you don't know if it's
peer pressure or not.
It's not always taken well.
Not always, yeah.
Sometimes it ends in rejection, mm-hmm. which is really, that's what the camera is there
that's
for.
That's what the camera is there for. But obviously at the same time, when things go well, the crowd also appreciates that.
It's a win-win situation for the cameras.
But the only losers are the kids that have to go through the whole ordeal in front of the cameras.
I mean, it's tremendously alarming because I could certainly see a situation where, like, if there was a guy who I was friends with at my high school or something and, say, got along really well, if I'd asked him out at one point and he said no, we decided just to be friends, everyone would still, if it was a Japanese high school, everyone would still be like, what's their deal? Aren't they together? Mm-hmm. Aren't they childhood friends or something?
Right.
And then probably cheer for it at the end of the year. But at that point, it's like, we already decided not to go out.
Right.
This is awkward.
Yeah, but no matter.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of realism to all those stories where, you have couples or you have people that, their relationships didn't work out, and yet you have people still picking on somebody.
Yeah.
Because, there's obviously this disconnect in regards to privacy. There's certain things that people can be pretty open about, and there are certain things that not so much so. So, intimate relationships and something that you don't necessarily put out to the open too much, unless you're really hip, or just really mature.
Yeah, I definitely get kind of the sense of that the reality of American high school is much different in regards to the blatantness of people having relationships or not, where if people think you're involved, they're like, what's your deal? Are you going out or not?
Yeah.
And, like, they'll hound you about it until you answer them. Like, but
and
I get the sense
there's,
from, like,
there's no sense
anime,
of
not.
the deliciousness of the anticipation of making your confession.
No, because they want you to do it right away. They want the instant gratification of seeing you ask that person out.
Well, perhaps, but I find it particularly alarming that what comes out of this is being perhaps fetishized is the anxiety of girding your loins and preparing yourself to make the confession.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think if you think about it too much, you just get too nervous.
Well,
like,
I think this is an entire country that's thought about it too much
for like,
I don't know where this tradition
hundreds of years
started.
Which tradition, though? And then,
well, the
or
tradition
just
of, oh no, not the O-N, but specifically the confessing your love.
Oh, seriously,
I remember, like, in the Tale of the Genji, there's stuff like this.
Yes.
Where whoa, what's the matter?
No. I mean that whole story is kind of about that, isn't it?
Yeah. So I guess it's deeply rooted. It's deeply rooted in the national identity. But man, I guess what's up with that? I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I feel like
maybe in a couple of 100 years there'll be a tale that's deeply rooted in American identity.
Don't ask me, man. I'm not Japanese. I was very lucky that when I was there. First girlfriend, this nice Nigerian girl, just said, "Hey, we're the only
And you were
foreigners.
Like,
"We're the foreigners, let's go out."
Wow, that is a weight off my mind. But how could not the rest of the nation look at you with envy? And of course, there's the one title now, Love Roma, which is just about
page.
That. The first panel is him saying, "Hey, I like you.
Yeah,
let's go out."
But then, kind of in later volumes, you get the backstory where he's like, "Oh, actually, he liked her for like the whole year before that, and he only asked her out the first day of school the next year."
I must have read that at some point, but that didn't stick.
Yeah, it didn't have the same anticipation.
That's disappointing in many ways. But yet, narratively speaking, you still get you get the what I would consider the payoff.
Yeah, well, the execution, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the history of the O.N. Don, where does that come from?
The history of the O.N. Don?
Do you have an idea?
Oh, wow. My theory is it does have something to do with Yankee culture, which isn't necessarily that old either. But generally, when I've hung out with Japanese friends that I intimately know, people tend to be pretty open about anything when you get into their inner circle. And the Oendan basically treats the entire school as the inner circle. So they are cheering everybody on with all of their might. There is a little pressure there because obviously there are competitions for this. It is a club.
And that's part of the game too. There's a rival Oendan, isn't there?
Not in the one that I played.
Oh.
But there might be.
Well, yeah. I think in the second one there is.
Okay. Those tears, all that yelling, all that sweat, there's a purpose behind all that, and that's to help everybody else out and to help each other out. You don't have that many opportunities to do so openly unless you are with friends. Because it's the same thing in Yankee culture, one for all for one. Or is that the other way around? You know, everybody comes together. If one person gets caught up in trouble, the entire gang goes out, and they don't necessarily care if they're all going to get killed, or butsukarasu, or whatever. You know, they'll just go out and cover each other's back, no matter what the consequences. You have the aesthetic element that's very similar. You have the camaraderie element, and the spirit as well. You know, I think all that coming together just really shows that, you know, you don't have that many opportunities to really be open about your feelings and about helping people with their issues, except when you're given these perfect circumstances.
As with when people are being compelled to confess their love kind of involuntarily,
yeah.
It's, I don't know if they're necessarily getting help or it's perceived they're being encouraged to go in a direction that is socially acceptable.
Exactly. And I don't know, I was going to say that in a strange way, that is helping out the class and their perception of what these two should be. if the class feels that, or if members of the class know that one person has a crush on somebody else, in a very twisted way, it might benefit the class for that person to share their feelings. Because then you can, if things work out well, you have a nice, happy couple and you are a part of it. If things don't work out, then it also opens up the opportunity for members of the class to go after the
two. Oh, yeah, because you can't, like... Oh yeah. And
on the one hand,
yeah, because if you're a girl who has a crush on someone and your friend likes that guy too, it's not cool if, like, you made it known that's your crush.
Right. And mind you,
then your friend goes,
vicarious enjoyment, and on the other, it's just eliminating uncertainty.
Yes.
So you can just get on with it.
It opens up the playing field.
And mind you, this usually involves, the setting is usually around the school festival.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if things work out well, these two are going to go dance by the bonfire at night. If not, then people are going to start looking for another partner.
Interesting.
The Oendan are doing choreographed moves.
Well, remember,
they have
this
a dance from somewhere. I mean,
remember, this is. I don't know if they call it a sport over there or not.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, even cheerleading here in the States, everybody is very well choreographed.
Yeah, yeah.
Over there, there's a little bit more to it than just, you know. Obviously, with American cheerleading, it's mainly dance moves and some feats of strength and dexterity. There's some of that in the Oendan, but there's also music. So there are sometimes guys playing horns, guys doing specific things with fans, playing taiko drums, waving school banners and flags, things of that nature. All need to be choreographed for competition, and usually that is regional. But there is a competition element to that. That also helps the machismo element too, because, you know, these guys are putting everything into that last competition. They want to be the best and make sure that their school is has the best best spirit, the best, and they're able to share that with everybody around. So yeah, osutataka oendan.
I don't know how. If it's apparent to Americans playing the game that this is a for real thing.
Well, it certainly wasn't apparent to any of the people I talked to about it.
I mean, I just, like,
what, they
who
didn't
did you talk to besides Derek?
They didn't
and
think
Scott and Allison.
Oh, they
didn't
think
that
either.
The Oendan itself
No. Like when I started reading the Wikipedia page about it, the English Wikipedia page, and then like when I got partway down, I just stopped reading because I'm like, forget it. I just want to see this game played because it's not really interesting.
What did the Wikipedia article say?
It talked a lot about the character designer and what he worked on before.
Oh, so you looked up the game and what Owen
Dunn
worked?
Game. Yeah, yeah. The name of the game itself. Someone mentioned it and I hadn't heard of it. They talked a lot about the character designer and how he designed the Owen Dunn outfits. Mm. And I just assumed that these were just outfits designed for this game. That the whole role of Cirrus were just made
up. It seems as though
I wouldn't ever
this is a concept for a game.
Mm. Yeah.
And that there is no tradition.
And it seems so out there. It seems so out there as a concept as well. That's almost like, if you're like, oh, no, Katamari, it's a real thing. Everyone knows about the Defense of the Cosmos.
This is strange to me in that, I've watched now, I'm sure, thousands of hours of Japanese animation. Of those hours Japanese animation.
It's popped up in animation.
Yeah, but we just wouldn't have known that's what it was.
I'm not saying that it's not.
We just would have thought, oh, those guys are
doing
cheer.
It just didn't make any kind of impression.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was looking for.
Yes. Yeah, like until we went to Japan and saw that everyone used those little hand towels, we had never noticed. Like, now we notice all the time in
every
anime
bathroom
where everyone has a little towel.
Yeah.
Like, and it always comes up. But you just don't notice because you're not looking for it.
So
in this, like, there could have been tons of them in a lot of anime. We just never would have
It makes
noticed.
Me wonder how much else
like,
I'm missing.
Taste of Tea
Taste
before.
Of Tea, precisely.
We were watching Taste of Tea, the live-action movie, last night, and there were these two dudes who jump off on the backs of these motorcycles and ride off with these guys. And that was the school's Oendan. Like, they ran out of school, skipping school, to hang out with these
Yankee
guys.
At the Bozoka.
When I saw it last time, I didn't know hardly anything about Yankees, because it was like 2 years ago, and I didn't know certainly about Owen Dunn. I was just like, those are two cool
and
guys.
And it's kind of a surreal movie to begin with.
It's kind of
so
there's no real reason to believe
that
reflects everything.
Why is this any better grounded in reality?
Because by that logic, it's like, well, then there are experimental dance guys hanging out by rivers all the time in Japan. Like,
and indeed, maybe they do. Because I wonder if I missed this, what else have I missed?
You know, if you watch a lot of Japanese film, live action film, are there Owen Dunn and Water Boys? I want to say yes.
I didn't watch it,
but
you'll see.
Yes, you have. That's the fireman drama.
No. Water Boys is boys synchronized swimming team.
Oh, then what's the fireman drama?
Umisato, I think.
Which is translated as
to. Sea monkeys, but it's water dogs here in the
States. I see, okay.
The manga is the same one, or? I know there's a live-action TV fireman. Viz is putting out the manga of it, and they just call it Firefighter.
Oh, yeah. Megumi no Daigo.
Firefighter.
Exclamation point, I think.
So it's a musical.
Yes, Firefighter the musical.
Yeah, I don't... No high school scenes in that, in Firefighter. No, I'm wrong. There were some scenes because he keeps on flashing back to when he was in love with his high school teacher.
Hmm. Which is a common malady.
But I think I have this theory that high school teachers in Japan are all a lot younger than like the ones I had in the States. That a lot of people, like even the JET program people I know, it's like people who just got out of college and the teaching standards are not very high, or it's not as hard to get a teaching job there. And maybe teachers marry off in a way like they used to in the old days in the United States, where you would teach until you got married and then drop out.
Or you became an old school marm. Yeah.
So a lot of... It seems as if in all the dramas I've seen and a lot of the anime I've watched, in general, the median teacher age is a lot younger. Whereas...
Like 25,
20.
Yeah. Well,
like
how old do you 30? Think Hadi Odagiri is in high school girls?
He's like 26.
Yeah.
He still thinks he's a hottie. He might only be 24. But in the high school I went to, that wasn't the case, because a lot of the teachers had tenure. So some of them were so old, they had actually taught my own mom. And as long as my mom had kids really young or anything. So some of them were super old and curmudgeon-y, to the point where anyone who was under 30, suddenly like the standards for attractiveness drop significantly. And it's like, oh, so-and-so is a cute teacher. No, they're just under 30. Like, I don't mean to... If you are 30, sorry about
not
that.
Yet.
Okay, no turns into issue. But
yeah, I'll be 30 soon.
Anyway, but
there are a lot of. I mean, talking about high school girls. I mean, Hari Olagiri is the only.
He's the only guy.
He's the only young guy.
Yeah,
right?
The only young guy in their school. Oh, and then
well,
no, the actually the swim teacher
the
gym
American
guy. He's not American.
He's not American.
He's just,
he wasn't
no,
American.
He's just a freak.
No, he's
just, too much of a freak to be okay. considered he's attractive.
Man.
He's just really right. into his body.
You think he's young?
Huh?
You think he's young?
I think he's the same age as Inugiri.
You think so?
From reading later in the manga, they kind of hang out.
It looks
of course they hang out, because they're coworkers. And people have to do that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I guess you have to in Japan. Whereas here, I've had jobs where I would not hang out with my coworkers.
I'm thinking he's like, if Odagiri is 24 to 26,
uh-huh.
I'm thinking he's around like 32 to maybe 36.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
And then everybody else is...
Yeah, right, they do have like the old... like the super old teacher,
the pie teacher who's like in his 50s maybe, and and then there's the old school mom
and
she's maybe 70. No, she's not
that. they draw her to look about 70.
And then there's the Mario sensei. There's a little short guy who looks like Mario.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he did come up a couple times.
Yeah.
Not very often. But it's pretty funny when they're like...
I think he's in his 40s. unless
Mario is.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Being a plumber for like 38 years. You go to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Is that your realistic, super realistic fanfic where it's like very literary Mario fanfic?
Yeah, it's his life before the Mushroom Kingdom. It's like three volumes before you get to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Nice.
It sounds kind of like Old Boy. You know, he's just kind of working, doing his thing, you know, then something really bad happens and he disappears with his brother. And instead of being locked up in a cell for 10 years, he's tossed into the Mushroom Kingdom. Which could be when you think about it, because he has to deal with Bowser and the toadstools and all the other, you know, baddies. It might be worse. Because at least Goto and Old Boy had TV and gyoza every day.
That's true,
you know,
but...
No pasta in the Mushroom Kingdom.
That, as so far as you know, that's not the killer. The killer is the princess is always in another castle, and it's very...
existentialist.
He's either in Donkey Kong's castle,
right,
or he's in Bowser's castle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you're right. It's...
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up on that note. I don't think you can really top that concept. Like a Camus-esque novel about Mario's disappearance.
Are you sure you don't want to end on a joke, which I've made up?
What's your joke?
My joke is that...
It better not be a pun. I'll punch you in the face.
We're going to see how truthful you are.
All right,
so on both sides, you're both going to punch me now. I'm just saying...
Super knockout?
If the Tale of the Genji is the... national saga about unrequited love.
Yes.
Second national saga.
Is Mario?
Is, no. It's the one about love realized called The Tale of the Hickey.